Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're here for another Wednesday. This is the 2nd of February, 2011. And we got a big show tonight because the snow's piling up outside. Overseas, revolution is in the streets, and the CRTC is making controversial decisions. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday tonight. In what might be our second last show, we're planning to speak with one of the greatest guests we've ever welcomed to the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Welcoming back on the show to give us an update about the assault at the Canadian border situation and the trial that recently just took place. Cantonitha Horn, the editor of the Mohawk Nation News, is going to be joining us later on tonight. Plus, we've got some information on what's been happening with the Toronto G20, with what's been going on, some dollars and cents with the budgets has gotten out. Final costs and the idea of retaining all the equipment of the G20 is what the Toronto Police Chief's been talking about. So we're going to be getting into that issue. And plus, it's African Liberation Month. We're going to be talking a bit about the Mumia Abu-Jamal situation because, that'll be first up. That'll be our segment that we're going to play right at the top of the show because we haven't got to this one yet. And this is actually going to be part three, then, of our series from the Free Mumia Abu-Jamal rally that took place in November of 2010. So without any further ado here, we'll just have this as our first segment of the show, and you're going to hear a lot of different voices in this. This is a rally, that United Front rally, that took place in front of the U.S. consulate in downtown Toronto. It was a major protest to free Mumia Abu-Jamal, the political prisoner in the death row in the United States. Here is some of that event, and we'll be back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Big show tonight. Word up.
Next, we've got Victoria from the Community Solidarity Network, formerly known as the TCMN.
Hi, everyone. So I'm Victoria. I'm from the Community Solidarity Network. It used to be the Toronto Community Mobilization Network. Currently, the Community Solidarity Network is doing support work for all those who were arrested and detained during the G20 protests this past summer in Toronto. And we're working to defend all the G20 arrestees. We were out there protesting the oppressive policies of the G20, such as police brutality, racism, the austerity measures, and the policies that protect the big banks and the corporations that feed into the prison industrial complex, which is what Mumia is still fighting against and how others continue to fight against. They tried to justify the $1.3 billion spent on the G20 security with the Integrated Security Unit for those of us who resisted the G20, the G20 agenda, and they still try to justify the COINTELPRO with the Black Panther Party and Mumia. We stand here to express our outrage over what is happening and has been happening to Mumia, and demand that it be stopped. Drop all the charges, free all political prisoners, and free Mumia.
Next, we've got Julian from the Spot Collective, which is Kitchener-Waterloo.
I started organizing when I was 15, 16, and I was a little kid, and I remember the 95 demo, and I remember the 99 demo, and I remember, Rage Against the Machine had songs, and there were shirts and everything. And then, a couple years later, no one talked about it. Seriously, no one mentioned Mumia. No one talked about Mumia. The same way that no one's really mentioning Peltier today, or the Angola 5, or is it 3 now? I'm not too sure myself. But the fact is, the movement has a history of forgetting its comrades. I was one of the G20 arrestees. I was one of the conspirators. And for a year and a half, the RCMP spied on us. They listened to everything we said. And my charges just got dropped 2-3 days ago. After a year, after a year and a half of spying on us, the best they could get on me was when I slept with my girlfriend, and what pain medication I was using for my spinal problems. Like, that's money well spent, you know. The reason I'm mentioning that is many of us have gotten arrested for small things, like, you know, they want to know who everyone is, they want to get you on breaches, and for us, reading the story of Mumia, we're like, yeah, that's true, you know? And then trying to explain it to people be like, no, the police would never do that, you know? We live in a democracy and we have freedom. You guys are the bad ones. I remember when our place got raided and all the leadership was in jail, and the people that used our drop-in center organized our annual May Day conference. Some people from Toronto were there. OCAP was there, Morteza the Cuba guy was there, and we invited the Green Party, right? We wanted a united front. And the Green Party said, it's because of your behavior. It's because you guys are critical of the police. Well, now with the G20, we see that all it takes to commit a crime is to speak out against it. And it's not just homeless youth or people of color or drug addicts are attacked by the pigs. The pigs are exposing themselves to everyone, and they're going after middle-class white activists whose only crime is saying that imperialism is f***ed. And I remember going to my girlfriend's bail hearing, and they were just like, your boyfriend said bail conditions on his Facebook, this and this and this. And I'm thinking, well, don't I have the right to think that? You know, like, you're not going to grant her bail on the fact that her fiance thinks, well, what if we do, right? But, like, this is really f***ing dangerous, right? Like, you know, we can't forget our comrades in jail. We can't forget Peltier. We can't forget the Cuban Five. We can't forget Mumia. We can't forget all those people that are being attacked. And just one final note, a comrade of mine's got arrested, and despite the fact that my charges got dropped, he was just released today. He has non-association with me, so his name will not be mentioned. But he was like a native rights activist, and he's been in jail for, what is it?
Three months.
Yeah, like it's been forever he's been in jail. And no one talks about it. No one mentions it, no one whatever. Like, if we forget about Mumia, when they come for us, people will forget about us, and that's the basic message.
Okay, thank you. The penultimate speaker is Yulisa from APUS at U of T. That means there's only one more after her.
Mumia must be free. Mumia is a warrior. And we have to let everybody know that. Mumia is the voice of the youth. Mumia is the voice of all those who lay in prison waiting to go to the courts, supposedly waiting for freedom that may never come. Mumia is the voice of MOVE. Mumia is the oppressed voice that dares to speak out. Mumia has been talking about revolution ever since I could remember. And we in Toronto have been working actively to build revolutionary movements, and yet they struggle to survive every single day. I sit here today glad to see that so many people have come out to support and speak out for Mumia. But I keep asking myself the question that, where are all the racialized speakers? And I challenge the organizers of this gathering today that we don't want you to speak on our behalf as racialized people. We can speak for ourselves. And while we want to work with you as allies and comrades, you have to give us voice. That's what Mumia talks about, that nobody should be appropriating our voices, that you have to create spaces and include us in these gatherings. And that's why I give thanks to Brother Norman, because he came up here and said, hey, he supports these organizations. Baba Norman has been working and organizing for as long as I can remember. And he wanted to make sure that a racialized female voice was heard at this gathering today. So I challenge all of you that if you're really committed to freedom, oppression, justice, then represent. That's your role and responsibility. Those of you who have the privilege, your job is to share the space. Don't appropriate the space. So freedom to Mumia. Freedom for Mumia. Freedom for Mumia. We need a revolution. As African people, as poor people, as working class people, as women, as marginalized communities, as disempowered organizations, we have to organize. We have to pass this legacy on to the youth. And I challenge every organization that's doing amazing work here. We have to make the connections to the youth, because they're the ones who may be fighting for Mumia 10 years from now. And we have to pass on these legacies, these stories, these histories, these her stories and these experiences. We have to pass them on as revolutionary thinkers, as social justice organizers, as community mobilizers. Let's do the work that needs to be done to free Mumia and all others like him. Ahuka!
Final speaker is Bruce Allen, who's from the Canadian Auto Workers Local 199, where he's the vice president.
First of all, I'd like to extend warmest greetings and solidarity to all of you gathered here at this emergency rally to not only save the life of Brother Mumia Abu-Jamal, but to demand in the strongest possible terms his immediate and unconditional freedom. Speaking for the Angola 3 Support Committee, I want to stress once again that the Angola 3 and Mumia Abu-Jamal have long supported each other. About a decade ago, Mumia issued a strong statement supporting the Angola 3, and in turn, the Angola 3 have been resolute and unwavering in fully supporting Mumia and the international campaign to win his freedom. Herman Wallace and Albert Woodfox would gladly greet you if they could, but they cannot due to being held in virtual isolation as part of their continuing ordeal at the hands of the state of Louisiana. As former Black Panthers, the Angola 3 and Mumia are comrades in arms, bonded by their political past and the similarities in their situations as revolutionaries framed on murder charges who have spent over half of their lives locked up in solitary confinement. Indeed, these brothers, the Angola 3 and Mumia Abu-Jamal, have more than this in common. They are symbols. They are symbols of resistance. They are symbols of resistance victimized by racist political repression in a country where there have been and still are many political prisoners. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. That brings our rally to a conclusion. We'd like to thank everybody who came out today. We hope that today's rally here and the rallies that took place in other places around the world can help to reignite the kind of united international protest that saved Mumia's life in August 1995 when he was only a few days from death. An injury to one is an injury to all. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. An injury to one is an injury to all. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. An injury to one is an injury to all. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Thank you.
Word up. That's some words there from the Free Mumia Abu-Jamal rally and protest that took place in November of 2010, so a few months ago, but it was a major protest because of United Front, so all different kinds of groups and activists had endorsed the rally, and then there was a lot of speakers there, so that was just part three of, so we've already played two different segments of the different speeches, so those are just some highlights there from the event, United Front to Free Mumia Abu-Jamal, and this is African Liberation Month, so what I'm going to throw it to now, though, is just a quick music track here. It's a good one for this month and for actually any time you want to hear some good music. This is a track by Eric Flowchild featuring JD Era. It's a track called Africa. Word up. The hood be the real one, never rich, but it should be for real, yo. For the people that are still, yo, kicks if you sit close enough. Still, yo, yeah, I'm talking about the continent. Which one, probably, where poverty is dominant? It's one hell of a place to live. If you're trying to live, but I'll see in the face of kids and the ribs. It's hard to forgive the human race for what they did to Africa. Yeah, and TV got me praying for my uncles and my aunties because they're living in Africa. But mom told me not to worry. Matter of fact, she in a hurry just to go back to Africa. So I guess where I'm from don't deserve to be shunned. Still they hating on Africa. Wait a minute, Canada. Parents came here as immigrants with nothing but a dream. Education was limited. Know what I mean? They made the kids citizens, hoping they would grow up and see what the vision is. To go up the food chain, do better than they did. That's the routine. Next one is my favorite. It's the new names that we got from the slave ships. Man, I'm too ashamed to say my first name, Eric, and I use it for the government. It's not from Africa. I know, and I can't speak tree. It's the language of my peeps, like I'm ignorant to Africa. This is some African Canadian. Canadians are blaming, and it's funny cause Africa.
It's the origin of life. Y'all better get it right. It all started in. Wait a minute now. No, I ain't trying to be a racist, but the white man keep lying to our faces. Back in the day, they would fire us with tasers for trying to survive, now they trying to erase it. From the history books, nowadays they expect black kids to be crust. So the five old watches are sold to the neighbors, but everything on TV got a little flavor. Biting the culture and everything is paid for. But in Africa, they ain't getting any credit for the market in favor. Nah. It's getting cheated by the civilized. Why they gotta criticize? Africa. One day it'll stop and all the people on top will be from Africa. Wait a minute now.
Hey yo, Era. Let them know where we from, man. I mean, I heard we're from the same place. So I had to let you do your thing on this one.
Chip. Let's go. Guess what, poverty stricken, beef over religion. Nope, don't be fooled by the image of world vision. They lock up the innocent, toss them inside a prison. But they really need to imprison the politicians. Got AIDS on the TV, AIDS on the children. But ain't no aid in the process of rebuilding. Ain't no questioning after the mass killing. So pardon if I never condone the blood spilling. All I hear about is drama, never met my grandmama. She passed away in. And if my Ghana fam holla, I'ma send a couple dollars to my cousin Sam. That's right, it's messed up that they kill for the diamonds in your grill. Show your smile for me. Okay, after I sell a couple mil, I'ma probably go and chill back home in Africa.
Word up. Africa, there, that track, J.D. Era, Eric Flowchild off, the Stolen from Africa, Banning Guns Won't Stop Gun Violence mixtape, Changing Minds Will. So let me just get into some of these topics here. And actually, we're going to open up the phone lines just in case anyone wants to call in. 416-595-1655 just for the next 10 minutes. Because we're going to be talking about, well, we got a lot of topics to talk about, but we'll keep it open, keep the line open in case anyone wants to call in. 416-595-1655, because this is a historic show here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Now it's February 2nd, 2011, and we've had some major announcements this week, including a CRTC decision. CRTC decision affects internet price gouging. Have you heard about this one? I guess it was requested by Bell Canada, talking about a usage-based billing system. This CRTC has approved this. This is going to be a new billing system that's going to be in for the internet. So it's, I guess the more you go on, they're going to give you a cap. And if you use, you know, the more you use on the internet, the more you download, the more you watch, will be the more it costs you, you know. And then this has gotten some controversy from different internet service providers, like TechSavvy, I think, is one of them that is against this, because some of the smaller service providers are saying that it doesn't actually cost that much to transfer this data. But I think we've got a caller here, so I just wanted to try to see if we got a caller here. Hello, CKLN. Is there a caller here?
Yes, sir. Daniel, this is Norman. I wanted to.
Hey, Norman.
Just thank you for the support that you have given Saturday Morning Live and Dire Spork Music and CKLN over the years.
Oh, thank you, Norman.
This is not the end. I'm not saying that we're finished. I think we should. The spirit is to fight, to continue to fight. So I'm not saying that we're through. I'm just thanking you in advance.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I think, is it Victor Baines Marshall special this Saturday?
Black Addicts and Recovery, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
Black yes. Addicts and Recovery this Saturday. So.
Right.
But then hopefully you'll be on next Saturday.
The 12th?
The 12th.
Hopefully, yeah.
Okay, great.
As they say, if the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise, or inshallah, I'll be there, yeah.
Awesome, yeah.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Norman.
See you later.
All right, peace. So that's Norman Otis Richmond there, the host, legendary host of Saturday Morning Live, who is giving up some time, I guess, this week to Victor Baines Marshall for the Black Addicts in Recovery special, going to be this Saturday. So check that one out. And then also check out next Saturday for Norman Otis Richmond's show. And then I think we've got another caller, though. Hello, caller? Hello, you're on the air. Oh, no, I guess we might have lost the caller here. I was just going to get into some other topics here. Hold on a second. Let's get this caller back here. Hello, CKLN Radio. You're on the air.
Thanks. All right, bye. Take care.
Hello. Okay, maybe that was a question for the CKLN office. That's why it was ringing on line two. So that might have been the end of somebody's show or someone's call, I guess, for the office. I guess there's things going on here. I guess there's a meeting going on, and there was a big meeting on Monday talking about the CRTC decision that affects CKLN. That's where the confusion lies, because what's going to happen on February 13th, nobody knows with 88.1. The announcement, though, that was made that came out last Friday was that February 12th, at the end of the broadcast day, CKLN's got to stop broadcasting, or the license is going to be revoked by the CRTC. That was one of the announcements from the regulator. So what we have here is a situation where more and more information is coming out, and that's why I wanted to just mention briefly what I found out here about hold on a second, I think we got a caller here. Hello, CKLN Word of Mouth Wednesday show.
Yes, yes. Am I on air?
Yes, you're speaking on air.
Oh, okay. I should say, first of all, that I thought it was really great that Norman called in and he brought up the fact that Victor's show is going to go on as scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that the idea that CKLN is going to continue as scheduled is important.
Mm-hmm.
A directive based on the interpretation that we are falling short of our mandate does not go without appeal. And mm-hmm. as long as we are in the appeal process, it's within our rights to ask for a stay on the cancellation of that order. So what I am suggesting is that we should remember it's not over until February 12th, and we have between now and then to engage in some legal proceedings. We're trying to get good advice. Some of the problem is that a lot of these people who are advising us are used to benefiting from large, large, large fees that they pay to commercial radio that can afford them. And our issue right now is exactly that we don't have that, those kind of resources. And moreover, the resources that we do have are not being recognized appropriately, meaning the volunteer resources. And as a matter of fact, this decision has been based on a new CRTC ruling that came through in 2010 after a review that happened in 2009, which effectively put our community out of the running to know what was going on, so those voices were never heard. And there is a steamrolling that's been going on. Anyone who's been following this knows that this is the case, and therefore we have to remember that we have lots of options to continue, including civil disobedience, and there is a good indication that the Ryerson Students Union might actually be in support of that. We are allowed in a democratic nation to defy laws that we believe are unconstitutional. And, you know, radio and telecommunications is a very tricky subject. It's not small, okay? We are talking about resources that rightfully belong to the community at large. And, you know, there are those of us who would like to believe that if you can't pay for water, you shouldn't be allowed to live. And in the same way, if you can't pay to have a culture and a civilization, that should be annihilated. And frankly, I don't know what we're annihilating it for. Are we annihilating it to put good, intelligent men of value on death row? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, well, yeah, thanks for calling
so
in.
So write
your
MPs, call mm-hmm. your MPs, sign the petition, please. It's not over yet. There is mm-hmm. room for an appeal, and if there's room for appeal, there's room for a stay, which means that come midnight, February the 13th, you may still be allowed to perform.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks. That's the hope we're looking for.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you
for letting me have that say.
All right, thanks. And, yeah, that's what we've been talking about here. Now, there's a petition online that has over 1,000 signatures. And that's, you know, it was something like around 500 yesterday. I think there's, you know, it's building every day. There's more and more signatures. So that is a positive sign. What we don't know. I guess we don't really totally know what's going to happen on this February 13th. But we know that February 12th, they're saying that that's going to be it for the license. So that's why this is a historic show. And we're in a historic point here at CKLN. And hopefully we're going to have a historic interview coming up coming up next. We're going to try to get Cantonita the Horn from the Mohawk Nation News on the line. But first up, I think it might be good to just play a classic track here by Project for Peace. We Are Still Here. That's something to remember for all CKLN listeners. We are still here, and shout outs to Toki Tote and the Mohawk Nation News, and we'll be right back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday.
Sing our song. say, and we say loud and clear to all the sadness. We are still here.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the show, and joining us right now on the line is a guest that's going to give us an update on what's been happening with the Mohawk Nation news, as well as her personal story of being attacked at the Akwesasne Canada-U.S. border on June 2008. And I'd like to welcome to the show today Cantonitha Horn. Hi, Cantonitha.
Hi.
Thanks. Michael. Thanks for returning to the show.
Oh, glad to be here. I hear that you might not be around for long, or has that changed?
No, well, right now, what's going on is we're hoping for an appeal on the decision. But it looks like the CRTC has made the decision that the 12th of February is when we're supposed to lose our license. So they've given us a date. So on the 13th of February, nobody knows. Yeah, what's going to happen?
Well, you know, I guess media is, you know, getting your story out on the media is probably very dangerous for the government, because in my case, there was never anything in the media about what happened to me, and it's really a very big story.
I know, that's why I'm glad that I was able to find one article on it, and I guess it's fitting that the article is listed on the website Censored News, because
that's right.
Yeah, because it's like your story is pretty much been censored. Could you give us an update? What has happened?
Well, they tried to censor me completely from the earth, I guess. Well, it happened. Well, what happened? I guess you've already given some background about it. But mm-hmm. We went to the border. Me and two other people. We drove to the Akwesasne border and drove up to the Canada CBSA. That's the Canada border agents, and they pulled us over, and there was nothing on me at all, and nothing as far as I knew on any of my passengers, but there was a female passenger, and they wanted her to get out. They said that she had an outstanding warrant, which I didn't know about, and so she was reluctant to get out. And they pulled her out, they pushed her to the ground, they handcuffed her, and took her away. And I saw this, and I really, really got scared, because they really didn't have any reason to stop me. Mm-hmm. And they all came swarming around me. There was about 14 of them. And one was giving the orders through a cell phone. He was getting orders from somewhere, and telling them to come around and to pull me out. And I argued with him. I said, I haven't done anything wrong, and I don't have any outstanding charges or contraband or anything. And they couldn't give me a reason for pulling me out, except saying that for me to get out. And so I didn't want to be mistreated. Mm-hmm. And the others, you know, she had been mistreated, and they weren't giving me any guarantees. I said, what are you going to do to me? And they said that wasn't for them to say to me. So anyways, and then I didn't have any witnesses around, and I was really scared. Very large males, and there were two females. They came around, and when they did that, I said, uh-oh, there's a lot of trouble for me here. And they pounced on me, and then they started pulling me out with they pulled my left arm, and they tried to break my arm. They twisted it, and it felt like they were trying to break it, and it was really painful. So I was screaming and hollering and saying, let go, and I tried to pull my arm away. And so anyway, I thought, well, there's something wrong here. I think they're after me more than they are after that passenger. So, because they certainly knew who I was, they had already looked through all my papers, and, you know, we had waited for a whole hour while they checked and verified everything. And then there was nobody around at that time, but after an hour, this big swarm of commandos came around. And anyway, that's when I said I'd been beaten up before by the police. And there have been a few attempts on my life, once in 1990, and then once in 1995, and then again this time in 2008. So they finally got me out, and they handcuffed me, and they took me inside and put me in a cell. They roughed me up, and they kept on tightening the cuffs. Handcuffs, and then my hands were getting redder and redder. There was no blood circulation, and they were behind. It was behind my back, and they kept lifting my arms up so that it would hurt me, and it was hurting me. And I kept telling them to stop and to loosen the cuffs, and but they seemed to know what they were doing. And then inside the cell, one of the officers stood behind me and one stood in front of me, and the one behind me had his hands on my pants and trying to pull it down, and the woman in front of me was trying to pull my head down between her crotch area. So I felt like something serious was going to happen here, and I felt like I was that there was going to be a sexual assault happening to me, and that's when I began having the heart attack. And then my brother came in at that time and stopped it. And so, but they also had with them a taser, so they were going to do something to me. You know, the taser, they didn't use it, but they had it with them. Mm-hmm. And I guess everybody knows what a taser is. Mm-hmm. And a person of my age could be killed. You know, if you get mm-hmm. all those electrical volts, it could kill you. So I don't know whether the stress hold that they were using on me was what they were thinking was going to finish me off. But anyway, so that's what happened. And I didn't bring that up about what they did to me mm-hmm. in the cell, because I was afraid that if I said anything about that at this time, you know, before I finalized and got my charges and everything else out of that court system, and I became, you know, they gave me an absolute discharge. Mm-hmm. I think that had I mentioned anything of that to anybody, mm-hmm. that would have been a reason to, I don't know,
right.
cut me
they
up
could have used
or
it against
tell
you.
Everybody I'm a nut or mm-hmm. or whatever. I was afraid anyway. I was scared.
So when you mentioned that your brother helped you get out of the cell, Is that because I think I saw it in the article? Is that was your brother able to get access because he's a lawyer? Is that
yeah?
Him? Right.
Well, he came in. He says that's my sister. Mm-hmm. But then they wouldn't let him see me, so he says, "Well, I'm her lawyer." So then when they took they stopped what they were doing. They took the handcuffs off, and then they put me on a chair. They sat me down. By then, then he could see that I was in serious trouble. He said, "Well, he could see that my eyes were glazed and my voice and my face was getting flushed, and I was breathing you know, my breathing was hard, and he knew that I was in very serious trouble. So he's the one that called for an ambulance and got me and rushed me to the hospital. And they told me at the hospital I'd had a heart attack.
Now this is a shocking thing with this whole story about what you went through, and then to have the CVSA or the Border Commandos charge you with assault. That's where it seems, you know, that's the crazy part in this, it seems to me. And then, you know, if this is 2 years ago or, you know, getting closer to 3 years ago, it seems like the justice system is moving slower. And then what happened on your court case at the end of January? I know you mentioned that the charges were discharged, but I guess how did it all happen?
Well, what they did was that if I pleaded guilty, then they would drop the assault charges, and they would give me an absolute discharge on the obstruction charge. See, they said that I had obstructed the officers, but they said I also had assaulted them. Now there's a list of 14 of them that were there. I've got the list and all the names, and so I think what it ended up was that if I didn't plead guilty, and then there would have been a trial, and it would have been a very expensive trial, and I'm an elder, and I'm a senior citizen, and I get a pension like anybody else. I'm 71 years old, and I couldn't afford to have a trial. Even with the lawyer doing what he did for me, Phil Schneider, he did a good job getting thing taken care of. It still cost me a lot of money. I still have to pay it. However, if I had gone to trial, I could never have afforded it. So what happened was the Phil Schneider, the lawyer, and the Crown Attorney agreed that if I pleaded guilty, then the assault charge would be withdrawn, if I pleaded guilty to obstruction. So I was forced to plead guilty to something I didn't do.
Well,
in order to get out of there, to get out of their system.
Well, yeah, this system's definitely a mess. And this whole, you can find more information on this whole story if you check out the article by Brenda Norrell on No Jail Time for Cantonitha Horn. It was published January 26, 2011 on the Censored News blog. And also on the Censored News blog, I did notice they had a headline, Censored News in January 2011, or More Censored News in January 2011 than any other period. So this is what the month we've just gone through, and so, you know, so much has happened, and it's all, you know, a lot of it's being censored. That's why I'm glad we're able to get some of your story out, and that's why I'd also recommend people check out another article, Cantonitha Horn Resistance, that is on the same blog, bsnorrell.blogspot.com, or the Censored News blog. And in that, it also links to an interview you did on Hidden from History Radio with Kevin Annett. And then it also links to a movie from 1969, You Are on Indian Land, by Mort Ranson. It's a National Film Board documentary that you can watch online. And this documentary from 69 was interesting because I watched it, and this situation at the border is an old issue.
Yes.
But, you know, it seems like they've got their high-tech gear. You know, the commandos are a bit more high-tech, but it's still this, I guess, yeah, do you have any words on this, on the You Are on Indian Land? And
well, yes, that was when we blocked that border crossing. It was in 1968, and there were 60 of us that were put in jail, but there was about 500 people there, and it was cold, December 20th, I think. Anyway, I ended up going to trial, the only one. And at that time, I was charged with beating up 23 Cornwall policemen, City of Cornwall policemen. Whoa. And, you know, I'm not that big a person. although the border guard described me as being a large, strong 55-year-old woman. I'm not like that at all. And but it, at that time, and that movie, you know, has been on the net. It's always played in Agusasne, and Mohawk people always see it over throughout the years. Mm-hmm. So I guess my face is still in the forefront of resistance at the border. So when I was coming through 40 years later, I guess, I don't know whether they recognized me or the name, but I go through there because that border crossing is right in the middle of the community of Agusasne, and I have a lot of relatives there, and I visited there often. But since that time, what's happened is that border crossing has been moved right off of Cornwall Island. It's now over in the City of Cornwall.
Whoa.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was, I almost died at that border. So, you know, I don't know whether, but anyway, what happened it was very serious.
Mm-hmm.
But I did take an action, and I wanted that assault inside the customs house to be investigated.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a report on it, and I sent it to the RCMP and the OPP and also the Mohawk police and the Attorney General of Canada. I said, this is a very serious assault. And they absolutely would not investigate it. So I ended up, I went to the Federal Court of Canada, and for $2 I took an action in the federal court. Anyway, they have timelines they have to follow, so I end up getting this court order from the government, from the federal court, saying that if I want this assault investigated, I would have to pay all of the Crown's costs. And they wanted me to put on deposit $25,000 just to start in order to have this assault investigated. And do you know what the reason was that they gave?
No, what?
They said that because I live in Ganawage, which is a Mohawk community, I am not a resident of Canada.
Oh.
That was the order. That was the order that was made.
Mm-hmm. Well, what?
So, what do you think that means?
That means that you're
that we're sovereign.
Yeah, exactly. That they haven't.
That's what it means.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you know, I've tried what I did was I appealed, and then they issued that order. Again, actually, they've issued that order three times from three different federal court judges that because I live in Ganawage, I am therefore not a resident of Canada. So does that? So that means that principle applies to every Indigenous person.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is, and that's something.
That's an amazing. They had to say that they knew I didn't have that kind of money to pay for the Crown's cost, which would have been who knows how much. It started out at $25,000 just to get them to answer, you know, the first filing that I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it cost them, and then after that, I would have had to pay for everything. Who can afford that? And is that? I've never heard of that. Have you?
No. But this is, it's It seems too much with what you've gone through, and then, you know, to expect you to have this kind of money. Doesn't seem right. And you know, for more information, if anyone wants more information on all of this, you can check out MohawkNationNews.com, and that's how you can also help Cantinith out on that site too. Check out MohawkNationNews.com. And Cantinith the Horn, I really hope that this isn't the last time that you're on Word of Mouth Wednesday. I hope we, you know, this show can continue. But with what's gone on with the CRTC, I really don't know. But I just wanted to thank you again, because, you know, your reports on MohawkNationNews.com have been some of our most used and best resources. And, you know, you actually introduced me, or your words introduced me to, like, names like Kevin Annett and Russell Means and Splitting the Sky, all people we've had on the show. Toki Tote we actually had on a few weeks ago. And, you know, I just wanted to mention, even the very first interview I ever did on Word of Mouth Wednesday was based on a Mohawk Nation News article. And that was when I interviewed Bob Lovelace about the Charbot Lake situation. And when I followed that was in 2007. And then when I kept following it on Mohawk Nation News, I basically, from that whole experience, I'm skeptical of everything now. And that's why...
I hope you are.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'd like to thank you, you know, for waking us up, Cantinita.
Well, you know, you have to stay on, and I think because it's important, because the knowledge that you put out is going to rule ignorance. knowledge is what makes everybody equal. If you have the knowledge, I have the knowledge, and the people who are listening have the knowledge, then that's what I call democracy. That comes right from the Gayanere Goa, the great law. So the way that the states and the corporations are keeping their power is through keeping the knowledge to themselves and keeping it from the people. And when they're giving you that kind of trouble, then that means that they don't want the free flow of knowledge. Because the free flow of knowledge is the free flow of power. That's the equalizer.
Right.
And that's why it's important for you to stay on the air. And I really congratulate you, and I give you all, everything that I, whatever I can do, you know, I hope you do stay on.
All right, thanks a lot.
You have to keep putting knowledge in the hands of the people.
That's what we're trying to do, yeah, and you're speaking the truth, and yeah, thanks a lot, Cantinith, for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
All right, that's Cantinith the Horn of the Mohawk Nation News. She's the editor and publisher of Mohawk Nation News, mohawknationnews.com. Check out the article, No Jail Time for Cantinith the Horn. It was from January 26, 2011 by Brenda Norrell, and you can find it on the Censored News blogspot. Search Censored News in your favorite search engine. It should come up, bsnorrell.blogspot.com. And... just want to throw it to, we'll just throw it to a quick music track here, and then we'll be right back on the Word of Mouth to wrap it up for what is hopefully not our second last show. Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is No One Is Illegal, Peter Bones. Keep it real.
It's illegal, stop deporting people. Could have been my brother, maybe, but my little nephew. Grace, you come and ask him all these stupid questions. They don't give a f- if you're a Muslim or a Christian. No one is illegal, stop deporting people. Back to Africa, send it back to Mogadishu. No need to be scared, looking through the e-coli. All I really want is just to be a little equal. Stop the deportation, stop deporting people. No one is illegal. No one is illegal. All I really want is just to be me, me, me. I, myself, and I. Life like this is so hard to find.
so hard to find.
It's a verbal movie about my life story. Immigration looking for me, screaming, no one is illegal. So my family get free. They might as well kill me here before they send me back. Cause people in my country, yeah, they don't know how to act. And they don't give a if it's black on black.
What up?
Screaming, no one is illegal, yeah. I'm ready to fight back. Ready to fight back. Back like back in the days. They don't play. They want you pack up your clothes, get on the plane. They send you back to where you came from. Yeah, that's what they say. Grabbing all the people and deport them every day. Hey, go back on the plane. They want you get on the what? They wanna lock you up for days. No court charges. Immigration come and take your children. I don't give a
Wednesday, just going out here on the track No One Is Illegal by Peter Bones. Shout outs to Peter Bones, some real hip hop out of Toronto. Word up. Thanks again for listening. I didn't get to quite into the dollars and cents of the G20, but we've got information coming out about this G20, what kind of money was spent, and we're seeing a lot. We're seeing a budget approved $144,000, and the final claim is going to be somewhere around $144 million. The claim around is going to be around $90 million, and that includes a whole bunch of things that the Toronto Police have set out here. And I'd just like to point out that the facilities category, and there's a number of categories like salary and premium pay, that's the highest category there. The final claim is $47 million around. Travel accommodation around $6 million, meals, vehicle expenses, facilities, information technology, telecom and video, supplies and equipment, training, insurance, major incident command center cost over $1 million. But the facilities portion that cost around $3.9 million includes the cost of rental of facilities for prison processing center, warehouse, staging, and other service requirements that cannot be met through existing city services. So, as you can see from the Toronto Police itself, its own numbers, there was G20 was a staged event included in the big breakdown of the prices in the facilities category. Staging was a major one of the major categories. So that's just one note there, and that we're going to get some more information on that, because I think Chief Blair is going to present this tomorrow and be asking to retain all of the gear that was bought for the G20 for the future, for the protests, I guess, in Toronto. And there could be some events that I want to list as we're wrapping up the show here tomorrow. My Journey to Afghanistan, an eyewitness report in the launch of Afghans for Peace, is taking place 6:30 p.m. Steelworkers Hall, 25 Cecil Street. Admission $25, $20 sliding scale, $10 minimum for the dinner. More information, nowar.ca or afghansforpeace.org. And that's event taking place tomorrow at Steelworkers Hall. Friday night, February the 4th, 2011, 7 p.m., it's the G20 Exposed screening at OISE. It's the Rebel Film Series Socialist Action presents the G20 Exposed. And I'm actually one of the people in the discussion. I was booked for this, I guess, with Julius R. Scott as well, who's going to be talking. We're going to be talking, I guess, after the movie. Some of the movie G20 Exposed, the original, is going to be screened, and then we're going to be talking afterwards. And then also Cuban Film Festival of Cuban films showing at the Royal Theater in Toronto. It's a free event taking place February 4th and 5th, Friday 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., Saturday 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. At 608 College Street at the Royal. And then the big event, 1 p.m. coming up this Saturday, is the rally, Mubarak, You're Fired, and a March Through Downtown Toronto starting at 2 p.m. So they're noting to dress warmly, organized by a lot of different groups, Canadian Coalition to Stop the War, Canadian Arab Federation, Canadian Peace Alliance, Toronto-Egypt Solidarity, amongst the groups. And, you know, a lot of people will be out this Saturday, Queen's Park, for another rally, and then coming up in March 25th to 28th, Kevin Annett's Worldwide Book Tour in Toronto. And next week, we might have our last show, so stay tuned, because we got some firsts planned. So hopefully this is not it. But my name's Daniel Libby, and thanks again for listening. Check out KNTN at the Horn, Mohawk Nation News, and stay tuned for the Blues Dr. Julie Hill. Cure Your Music Ills on CKLN 88.1 FM. This is not it. Hopefully, word of mouth, word is bond, word out. Knowledge is power.
Everywhere I go, people running around.